Good morning. This is Pastor Susan Reeves coming to you from Bethany United Methodist Church in beautiful Weirs Cave, Virginia. I'd like to share our scripture for this morning with you. It comes from Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 27. Now, when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to serve him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he cured all who were sick. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. Now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. A scribe then approached and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead." And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm arose on the sea so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But Jesus was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Let all God's people say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, as we go through this season of Lent, where we have given up many things, Lord, help us to discover within our own selves who Jesus is to us. Lord, help us to consider that relationship we have with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, and be with me as I give your message. Amen. When ministers get together, we often share stories about past and ministry settings, and sooner or later, someone might utter the phrase, "They didn't teach us how to deal with that in seminary." There are a lot of things they don't teach you in seminary. One friend of mine told me about her new appointment, the chair of the finance committee kept the toilet paper for the church under lock and key. And so each time they ran out of toilet paper, she would have to go to him and request another roll. And he would often complain to her that the women were using this precious resource faster than the men. Well, I would say that church officers treating toilet paper like it was made of gold was not covered in seminary. Of course, toilet paper has increased in value these days, but I don't see any reason to keep it under lock and key. Now, myself, I think that there should be seminary classes on repairing various leaks, leaky pipes, leaky boilers, leaky basements, leaky roofs. As long as there are church buildings, there will be leaks. But no one has addressed this topic in seminary as far as I know. Of course, no one taught any of us how to be in ministry during a pandemic when we are all called to shelter in place. And there's a certain irony in the fact that our Lent sermon series is about the journey of discipleship when we are supposed to do anything but journey. I mean, what does it mean to follow Jesus when you aren't supposed to go anywhere? Well, the people who make Charmin tell us we should enjoy the go, but most of us are staying in place. and the people who have to go somewhere, the folks who work jobs that are considered critical, they are probably feeling a little anxious about having to go and interact with people. But whether we go or stay put, we should consider that faith really is a journey and not a destination. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is in the midst of ministry. And in fact, he enters Simon Peter's house and, discovering that Peter's mother-in-law is ill with a fever, heals her. And this seems to be an invitation for a whole crowd of people to come with their folks who are sick and ask Jesus for healing. And Jesus heals them. But the crowd grows so great that Jesus makes preparations to cross the lake and leave the crowd behind. Then a scribe comes forward and addresses Jesus as teacher. Now, the disciples call Jesus Lord, not teacher. But here is someone who is not a disciple, someone who seems to understand Jesus as a rabbi with an established school. And so he comes to him saying he would follow him as a teacher. Well, the scribe misunderstands. Jesus has a mission. He doesn't run a school. And disciples are not admitted. They are called. It is for each of us to decide how we will answer the call that Jesus places before us. Well, then a disciple comes forward and explains that his father has just died and he needs to leave and go bury him. But Jesus gives a hard answer. Let the dead bury the dead, he says. Jesus is calling the disciples to push off from their familiar shores, from their traditions, and depart for new horizons. But pushing out into deep water, into the unknown, can be distressing and uncomfortable. I think we've all discovered that lately. When everything is changing, where do you go for comfort? Do you find comfort? Some people consider the boat containing the disciples to be a symbol of the early church. The storm upon the lake is the stormy experience of many Christians who choose to follow Jesus. Now, the word that is translated as windstorm in the translation that I read, the New Revised Standard Version, is actually seismos, the same root that's used in words like seismograph and seismology, earthquakes. Seismos means earthquakes. Out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the disciples experience an earthquake or a great shaking. Following Jesus can shake you to the core and upend everything you know. And what can we do but cry out, as the disciples do, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Everything has been shaken up and turned upside down. Our whole notion of church has been mixed up, shaken up, and now we have to think about what does it mean to be the people of faith, the body of Christ, Bethany United Methodist Church. But Jesus still calls us to be disciples, even when we're shaken up. And that means much more than being a member of the church, joining a committee, being part of a building project. All of those things are good things, but authentic discipleship requires examining our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Discipleship is an identity. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus interacts with three specific people. Each responds to Jesus differently. How many of us will follow when we feel that God is getting too close or demanding too much of us? When God is getting all up in our business, some will say, I don't need quite this much God in my life. I just need God to keep me happy and safe, with maybe a little fire insurance in the end. Don't ask too much, God. I've got 100 other things tugging at me and begging me for my time. Is that the kind of relationship we seek with God? Many will claim to follow Jesus, but really, they're more like fans of Jesus. They like the idea of Jesus. They cheer him on. Just as when he rode into the city of Jerusalem, there were cheering fans, and they're all ready to say, Go, Jesus! Come on, Jesus! But true followers do more than just cheer Jesus on. They develop a relationship with him. Peter's mother-in-law gave a natural and joyful response to the compassionate and healing touch of Jesus. She took the strength and energy that Jesus freely and lovingly offered her and began to use it to serve. Her commitment to serve did not waver. She did not look back. Something about Jesus made her want to follow and give her all to him. No questions asked, no negotiations or ultimatums. By faith, she served. And I guess what it comes to is faith and commitment. Commitment means consistently responding to Christ with a yes. No matter what we face, every day we must encounter Christ anew. Every day we have to live into newness of life. Every day we must die to the old life and live to a new life. On Good Friday, March 27th, 1964, in Anchorage, Alaska, the most powerful earthquake in American history shook the city. It was a catastrophic 9.2 on the Richter scale. For 4.5 minutes, the ground lurched and rolled, streets cracked open and swallowed buildings whole. And once the shaking stopped, night fell and Anchorage went dark. The city was in disarray and sealed off from the outside world. Of course, 1964 was long before cell phones and the internet. And when the ground stopped moving, the only voice that people heard was a radio news reporter, Jeannie Chance, who started broadcasting with a portable transmitter. She was the voice of information in a dark, shook-up world, a place where people were looking for their loved ones if they were separated from them before the quake. She drove to the police station with her portable transmitter, and she began broadcasting from there. From the police station, she went on to drive around the city and report what she saw to give people accurate information about what was going on as they struggled in the dark. She was connecting people who were separated and struggling to gather back together in the midst of just a scene that they could barely imagine. If we are to be disciples, we too must be the voice of truth and hope in a dark and shook-up world. Allow the message of Christ to come alive within you so you can reach out to those around you, encouraging and helping, always seeking to do good. Loving God and loving others is the passion behind discipleship. Being that voice of truth is offering hope in a sometimes shook-up world. Christ, who calms the storm and offers to order our chaos, is calling you to follow him. Make a commitment. Commit to sharing the love of God, even in these dangerous and strange times, because God loves all humanity, and so should we. Say yes. Yes to his will, and yes to his way. And you will have abundant life. You will be transformed, and you will know a joy that only comes through loving God. Amen. Well, are we ready for our video? All right. Well, let's go ahead and do our video. This is Carriers. Carry the hope of Jesus out into the world. Well, I want to thank everyone who has given to Bethany through the e-giving, which you can get to on our website, on that landing page. For those who have mailed in their offering as well, you aren't here, but we are still doing ministry, and we thank you for supporting that. Let us say a prayer of thanks. Lord God, we thank you for all the ways that you bless our lives, for giving us more than we need, for even bringing us to a time when we reevaluate what it is that we truly need. Lord, help us to continue to be generous to one another with our love, with our gifts. Bless all those who give, and help us to continue to build your kingdom. Amen. Well, This is our prayer time, and I encourage you, if you have prayer concerns, to go ahead and put them in the comments. I know that among our joys, just we've had some beautiful days, and spring is coming. Whether we're ready or not, we see new life, new growth springing up, the earth turning green, and that is a joy. Another joy, I want to mention that Linda Byers had a procedure earlier this week, and she is feeling much better, so that is a joy. But among our concerns, I know one of the things that has occurred to me that our seniors, our high school seniors, this has got to be tough for them, that their year is cut short. So we'd be in prayer for our high school seniors at the local high schools. Continue to pray for the teachers who are facing new challenges. And let's pray for our mission critical personnel in the federal government. That I know is from someone we have in our family that can be kind of scary being out there and meeting folks still. And we want to pray for our first responders as well. Do we have other? Okay, I thought I saw one come up. All right. Well, let us go ahead and come to God in prayer. Lord, we are living in strange times, but we remember that you are with us, that you are full of mercy and compassion. Lord, help us to see your vision for the world, a world of justice and compassion, one that can transform the lives of all your people. Lord, create in us clean hearts and anoint us with your spirit of love, a love that frees us for joyful obedience to love our neighbor and to put you first in our lives. Lord, help us to serve the least and welcome the lost. Renew our commitment to be with those who are in need, who are sick or hurting or alone. Help us to be with those who are in need of hope so that we might be hope for them. Lord, we pray for all those that we've lifted up, either aloud this morning or in our hearts. As we gather together to pray, we pray for those who are on the front lines, who are actively keeping the lights on, fighting the virus. We pray for nurses and doctors, and pray that you would relieve the stress that they may feel. Lord, we pray for those whose lives have been upended, either through contracting the virus or having their lives brought to a standstill for this moment. Lord, we pray that you would give us strength so that we might live the kind of lives that you would have us live, lives devoted to you, lives in which we say yes to your call and your claim upon us, lives in which we are transformed to be Christ to the world. All of these things I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that in terms of announcements, we have planned to have a council meeting on Tuesday. How that will work, we're still figuring it out. But if you're on council, you'll get an email, and we'll go from there. So it's been great to be with you on this Sunday. I can't wait until I see you face to face.